Nun Vav Amid Aleph. And if you look at the wide lines, it's about 5 lines into the wide lines, and the line starts the word Vekiryas, and we're up to Akrinon. And we've been discussing the dreams of Abaye v'Rava. They both had the identical dream. Very often they saw or heard a pasuk in the dream, and they came in front of Barheja, and they told him the dream, and Barheja offered 2 different interpretations, one which is more positive for Abaye, and one which is negative for Rava. Akrinon, during their dream, in this case, the Sara Chalomos read to them the pasuk at the end of Chumash, Zera Rav, Totsi Hasode, Uma'at Tesof, Kiach Selenu Ha'arbe. And what is the meaning of this, or the interpretation of this dream, of this pasuk? Abaye Amalei Barheja says to Abaye, Me Resha, the interpretation of this dream is that the beginning of the pasuk, Zera Rav, Totsi Hasode, will be fulfilled through you. Ula Rav Amar. And for Rava, the fulfillment of this prophetic dream will be in the Sefer of the Pasuk, which speaks about Ma'at Tesof Kiach Selenu Arba, and the Arba is going to destroy the crop. So in his interpretation, based on the Sefer of the Pasuk, Barheja is telling him that even if he'll plant a great deal, and he will nevertheless, unfortunately, gather together ma'at, because the locust, the arba, will consume the crop. And that's the interpretation. Another dream. Akrinon, they heard the pasuk there in Chumash Vayikra, in Chumash Devarim, it says, Zesim yiulecha b'chol gvulecha, but v'shemen lo tasuch kish yishal zesecha. The curse is that there will be zesim in all your gvulim, the olives will grow, but you won't be able to extract the oil from the olives. Ki yishal, your zesim will fall apart. So labaya amalei barhejib emphasized the resha, and the interpretation of the dream will be zesim yu lecha b'chol gvulecha. That will be fulfilled. And l'rav amalei, for you, you'll get the sefer fulfilled. And that Shemin lo tasuch ki yishal zeisecha. Another dream. And again the same story, that they, Abaye v'Rava, came in front of Barheja. Akrinon, this time they heard the pasuk there. In Dvarim it says, V'ro kalami ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. So Abaye Omar, Barheja tells him that the interpretation of the dream is, Nofak loch shma, you'll have a great name. Deresh misifta havius, you'll be the Rosh Hashiva. And emoscha nafalt bialma, and your awe and fear will fall on the creatures. Kol ami aretz yiru mimecha, shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yaru mimecha. But L'Ravi said, well, the interpretation of your dream is badyona demalka itbar, which means that the treasury of the beautiful ornaments of the king Yishaver will be broken, and all these tachshitim, all these special jewels and so forth, will be stolen. Umistafsos beganvi, and you'll be caught, and they will libel against you that you were the ganav. Vidaini kuli alma kal v'chomer minach, and the entire world is going to derive a kal v'chomer. They're going to say, well, if Rava is chashed, he's suspected of gneva. How much more so that his son should be suspect of Gneva? And the pasuk will be fulfilled, as it says there, V'yiru mimecha, meaning they'll be afraid of you because they think you're a ganav. And then that's what happened. L'machar, the very next day in Rava's life, Itbar b'dayona d'malka, the otzar of the Tachshite HaMelech, this treasury chest, was broken into, and all the ornaments and the special jewelry was stolen. V'asu, and the king's men came. V'tafsile l'Rava, they grabbed Rava, and there was a libel against him that he stole the tachshitim of the king. Now again, we have to ask the question that we asked at the end of last year, that why is that Rava keeps coming back to ask Barheja for an interpretation of the dream, after he sees time after time that the interpretation is for his detriment, for his evil. And now he sees that the Pitaron is Miskayim. And yet, as we're going to see over and over again, he, Rava, together with Abai, comes back for more trouble. Was he a glutton for punishment? V'yesh lomar. And this is the answer of the Achronim. He says, Shapitronos lo niskaimu miyad. The interpretations did not come to fruition immediately, but only after he would ask for a pitaron of all the chalomos, then niskaimu apitronos. So therefore, Rava came back over and over again, time and again, to ask Bar Hedger for an interpretation, because he didn't see yet that the interpretation of Bar Kapara Lera came to fruition. He thought maybe the pitaron is not going to be fulfilled. It's just a lot of hot air. Now, if that's what Rava felt, that the whole thing was hot air, why does he come back and ask it over and over again? Why is he wasting his time? So we have to assume that Rava did that because he thought that the tsar, the anguish that he would feel, that he would sense when he heard the pitaron, that itself would be a kapara for his avonos. As we said back on Daf Nun Hey, that the tsar of a chalom ra, gorem li adam, the tsar that a person suffers as a result of a bad dream, is a mechaper. It is a kapara, it's an atonement for all his sins. So now Abai Rava come back with the next dream. Amrile, they tell Bar Hedja that this is what they saw in the dream. Chazan, we saw Chasa Alpum Dani. We saw some sort of lettuce on the outside of the barrel. Labai, Omer Bar Hedja says to Abaye, if Iskach Bechasa, this barrel is a symbolic representation of your business, of your merchandise, and the yayin, the wine that's inside this barrel, is indicative of your, or represents your merchandise, and the chalom is telling you that all the profits that you'll get from this business will double, because the lettuce is somehow doubled over with folds, and that doubling over is indicative of your success. And Rav Reischer, in his book, he writes that from Rashi would seem that this is a reference to chazeres. I guess we call it romaine lettuce, which is one of the various vegetables you could use for maror on Pesach. And this is a species which is called in our day chasa, lettuce. And it has wide folds. You take a leaf of lettuce and it folds over. And that folding over is like a doubling over, where half becomes, double. And that's going to be indicative of your great success in your business dealings and selling your merchandise. L'Rav Amar, Morir Iskach Kichasa. Your schor, your business will be bitter, like the bitter of romaine lettuce. And what it means is that your schora, which you sell, will become bitter, and it'll be despised by the buyers, just like nobody wants to eat this romaine lettuce when it's sour, when it's bitter. And again, this lettuce was hanging around a chavis, which means representative of the yayin. The yayin is the schora, represents the schora, the merchandise is being sold. Another dream and its interpretation. They both, Abai Rav, came in front of our hedja, Vyamile Chazon, we saw Bisra Alpum Dani. We saw meat on the outside of this barrel. What's the interpretation of that dream? Labai Omer Lebar Hedja tells him that Basim Chamrech, your wine is very fragrant and very good quality. V'yasu Kulialma Lemizmin Bisra V'chamra Minoch. And all of your customers are going to come to buy the meat and the wine from you because it's such great quality. L'Rav Omer, he tells him the opposite. Tokif Chamrech, your wine will turn vinegary, it'll become fermented. V'yasu kuliyam l'bizim bisrael mechal bay, and the whole world will come to buy basar to eat it together with your wine to neutralize the taste, the sour taste of your wine that fermented. Another dream. Abai and Rava both had the same dream. Came in front of our heads. Shaviyamili told him chazon chavita detoli b'dikla. They saw in their dream a barrel of wine that was hanging from a date tree. What does this mean? Once again, Bar Heja will interpret this dream as a remez for Yayin, for Abaye, and for Rava, that have, you know, they're involved in merchandise. Labaye Omalu Midlay Iska Kidikla, your schora, your merchandise, your sales, your retail business will be like something that's sold at a very high price, like Dekel. Dekel is very high, it's a high tree, the date tree, and your wine will sell for a high price or whatever you're selling. Robert, he told him just the opposite. Chali Iska Kitamre. Your merchandise, the wine that you sell, will be very sweet, and the konim, the buyers, will see it like tmarim hagdelim bidekel, which are mesukim, and they're going to want to buy it because you're going to sell it at a cheap price. That's what makes it sweet. It's sweet for the buyers because you're going to have to slash the prices. If you don't have enough buyers, you're going to have to bring down the price. That's not a good thing for someone who's selling and he has to slash the prices. In the next dream, they tell Bar Heja, V'yamrile Chazon Rumana Dekadchi Apum Dani. We see in our dream pomegranates that are growing on the outside of this barrel. To Abai, he says, Oshik Iska Kirumana. You'll be able to sell your wine, your merchandise, at a very high price. So that for Rava, again, you know, he gets the exact negative that the ASEC is going to go down. It'll be sold for a cheap price. Now there's another dream here. Continuing here on Naf Nun Vav Amid Aleph, I would say about 15 lines up from the bottom, with the dreams of Abai Varova. And we start with Amrile Chazon Chavita Dinafal Abira. We saw in a dream a barrel of wine that fell into a pit. And Abai gets one pitaron, and of course Rava gets a different one. Labai Amale, he tells him, Bar Heji, he tells him, Mitba A Iskach, your schara will be desirable, your wine will be desirable, and people will come running to buy it. And if this chavis is down in a bar, then people will run away to run around to try to find it. It's so desirable to them. Ukid Amar, like people say, this idiomatic phrase, Nafal Pito Bibira Velosh Takach. Did a piece of bread fall down into a bar and people look for it and they didn't find it, they'll put in the effort to find it. But L'Rav Amarle, he says to Rav, Pasid Iskacha V'shades Le Libira, your schora will be lost and it'll be thrown into a bar. The next dream, Amrile, they tell Bar Heja, Chazinon Bar Chamara Dekoya Isdan. We saw in our dream a donkey, Sha'omed Mirashel Seinu, it's on the top of our head, so to speak, for nowhere, and it's giving out its brays. La'abaye Amarle, to Abaye, he interprets the dream, is Malko Havis, you'll be a king, you'll be the head of the academy, you'll be the Rosh Hashiva, V'koy Amora Allah. And the speaker will stand at your side. You know, he'll announce your word. That's the Amora. The Amora is like the foghorn, you know, like the microphone that sends out the message to the people in a loud voice. And that's what's going to happen. Yashmia es dvarcha l'rabim b'kol ram, like this chamor shenoer b'kol, that gives its brays out loud. U'l'rav amale peter chamor, the words peter chamor, gahit mitfiloch, they will be erased from your tefillin. What is this all about? So he says here that in the parasha of Vayaki Viacha, which is one of the four parashas of Tefillin, it says called Peter Chamor Tifte Beset. And this parasha will be erased from your Tefillin. So this vision of a donkey near his head, meaning the tefillin shalrosh, indicates that these words will be erased from his tefillin shalrosh. Omar le, Rava says to Bar Hejel, didi chazili v'isei, I saw the parashios of my tefillin, and the words peter chamor are written the way they should be. Omar le, so Bar Hejel says to Rava, vav, to peter chamor, vadai gohit mitfilach. The letter Vav in the word Chamar was certainly erased. So therefore the word Chamar in the Pasuk, the Chol Peter Chamar, it reads Chamar as if there's no Vav there, Tifte Beseh, that has to be written without the letter Vav, Chamar Chaser. And in your tefillin, the Sofer made a mistake and he wrote Chamar with a Vav. So Rava thought that if he would come to him and he would not come with Abai together, then maybe, perhaps, he would get a better tidings from the Chalomos. Now, it seems that Kodem Shekosev Es Ha'os Reish Shel Chamor Mochakas Os Vav because of his Os Reish Al Mokom Hamachak. So this Vav could look like a Reish, and it seems that the Sofer, before he wrote the letter Reish of Chamar, or we're talking about the Reish of Chamar, which is the last letter, he erased the Vav and he wrote the letter Reish on the place where he erased it. That's called Makom HaMachak. Now, if he would have first written the Reish before he erased the Vav, then even if he erases the Vav afterwards, the tefillin up Sulos, because it would read like two different words. And this is Beis Yosef and Archaim Simon Lamed Beis. So what is Bar Hedja telling Rava? The scribe who wrote your tefillin made an error. First he wrote the word chamor in peta chamor with its fuller spelling, with the vav. And then he realized that peta chamor in the Torah is written chasa without the vav. He realized his mistake, so he erased the vav. And according to Beis Yosef, let's just summarize what we just learned, that the sofer in this case, when he erases the vav after the word chamor has been completed, meaning when the resh was already written, then the tefillin, the klaf shel tefillin, would be posel. Why? Because when he erases the vav, he creates a gap, and that separates the ches mem from the resh. Now, in Rava's case, the sofer apparently realized his mistake, and before he completed the word chamor, he took out the extra vav and he put the resh, which is the third letter, in the place that he erased it. Now, what's the status of the tefillin in that case? If he wrote the letter resh on the machak, the tefillin up sulos, because it looks like two different words. And it seems that this pitaron, this interpretation, is of Bar Hedges radically, fundamentally different than all the others. All the others were about the future. Here it was about the past, the Metzius. And Bar Hedges was telling Rava, based on his dream, that it's clear that his tefillin are psulos because the sofer had written the word chamor with a vav, and that he erased the vav. Now again, it could be possible that the tefillin are not psulos in a case where he erased the vav before he wrote the resh, and then he just adds the resh samud, you know, right next to the mem. But here, what happened was he wrote the word chamor mole, and then he took out the vav, and that's, we said before, the name Beis Yosef, that's already nire kishtei tevos, and that's a psul in tefillin. So the Marsha here in this sugya says that this pitaron, this interpretation of the chalom, turns out to be a true one, because that's exactly what happened, that in fact the sofer erased the vav of chamor, and here we cannot say halach achar peh, and maybe it's his interpretation. Now that might explain why lebasof, the next line in the Gemara, azal rav lechudei legabei. And Rava now goes himself alone to Bar Hedja. He wants to ask about an interpretation of a chalom, a couple of different dreams, as we'll see. And at this point, Rava seems to believe that the interpretations of Bar Hedja are reliable. I mean, at least he proved himself in this tefillin case. Omalei, so Rava says to Bar Hedja, Chazoy dasha Baraisa de Nofal. I saw that the outside door of my house fell. What does that mean? Omalesa Bar Hedja says to Rava, Ishtecha Shchava. That means your wife who watches the door, watches the house, is going to die. Now Rava had two different dreams about the death of his wife because he had two wives. One of them died immediately after the first dream. His second wife, who was the daughter of Rav Chisda, died only after the death of Abaye. Amalei, so Rava turns to Bar Hedja and he says, Chazoy, I saw in my dream, Kake Veshine Dinosur. Let's see if we can interpret this. Not the outer door as follows, that was the previous one, but here he sees that his molars and his front teeth had fallen out. And what's the interpretation of Bar Hedja? He says, Amalei, Binach ubinasach shchavun, which means that your sons and your daughters will die. Whoa, this is pretty heavy. Now, the inner teeth are symbolic of his daughters. That's called kol kvoda basmel pnima. And the outer teeth are a symbolic representation of his sons. Amalei, so Rava brings his next dream to Bar Hedja. He's alone. And Amalei chazoy tarte yoni de parchin. I see two doves that are flying. Parchos. Amalei, so Bar Hedja tells Rava, Trei noshe migarashas. These two doves that you see flying away are remes to two wives that you will divorce in the future. Ishto shel adam kriya yonosh and emar yonosi samosi. So you will divorce two wives. Amalei Rava tells Bar Hedja Chazoy, I saw in my dream Trei Gar Gidlide Delifta, two heads of a turnip. So what's the interpretation of this dream? Amalei Bar Hedja responds, Train Kulfe Blas. You will receive two blows with clubs. The blows will be administered by a club whose thick end will resemble the head of a turnip, Rashi says.
the lefes has a wide head and it gets smaller and smaller. Not like a club, like the thick end of a club.
Next dream. Just turn this page.
Azal Rava Hu Yoma, Rava on that day goes, and the Yosef Bei Midrasha Kule Yoma. He sits in the Beis Medrash the entire day. He was afraid to go outside because perhaps people would beat him up with clubs if they don't recognize him. So he went to the Beis Medrash and he thought that there he wouldn't get smitten. At the end, the Chalom actually was fulfilled against his will, as the Gemara is going to say later on, that he was hit by two blind people who couldn't see him and they couldn't recognize him.
Continuing the story of dreams, we right now took a break from Abaye's dreams and we're focusing now on Rava's dream, and we're approximately, I would say, 15 lines up from the bottom of the page, and we're up to Azel Ravahu Yoma. Rav had just received a prophecy, so to speak, an interpretation of the dream by Bar Hedya, to the effect that he would be bludgeoned by two clubs. Azal Rav Ahu Yom, on that day, Rav went to Yosef Bei Midrasha, and he stood in the Beis Medrash. He sat in the Beis Medrash Kuli Yom the entire day, and he was assuming that people would recognize him when he came out, but he would be protected in the Beis Medrash the whole day. Ashkach Hanu Trei Sagi Nahori. And he found there two blind people. Saginor is the euphemism, a lot of light for a blind person. Tahavuka Minsu Bahadi Adadi. And they were fighting one with the other. Also Rava Lefarukinhu. Rava went to separate them, one from the other, to make peace. Umachu LeRava Trey. And they hit Rava twice with their sticks, because he wanted to separate them, one from the other. Tulu Lamachuye Achrite. And after they hit him twice with the stick, they lifted up the stick to give him a third smack. Omar Rava. So Rava says to them, Mastie, die. He gave me two slugs. Train Chazoi. And the dream only indicated that I would be hit twice. So that's enough. The Gemara now brings Rava's Minhag B'derech Acheretz in a little bit of a different way, to try to figure out how to interpret his dreams. Basof Asa Rava V'yoyev Le'agra. After a certain period of time, when Rava was coming alone to have his dreams interpreted by Bar Hedya, Rava came and gave money to pay Bar Hedya for his services, so that he would continue to interpret his dreams. Amalei. So Rava says to Bar Hedya, Chazai Ashisa Dinofal. I saw in my dream the walls of my house that fell. What is the interpretation of this dream? Amalei. So Bar Hedya says to Rava, Nechasim below Mitzarim Kanisa. You have purchased or acquired nechasim, which means possessions, and below mitzarim, boundless, without any boundaries. In other words, at this point, the removal of the wall means that anything that limits your property is removed. And the sign of this dream is that your property will be boundless. It means you'll acquire karkos rabos v'rechovos kolkach, kilu ein lehem mida. Amalei, so Rava says to Bar Heja, Chazoya Fanda the Abai did Nofal. In my dream, I saw that the castle, the Armon of Abaye fell, Vekasyon Avke, and as a result, it was covered by Afar, by Avak. What does this mean? Now, Afanja is a traklin shel melachim. It's a kingly palace. And what Rava saw in his dream is that the oil of Yaakov, of Abaye, was very beautiful. It was praiseworthy, like a palace. Omalesa Barheji tells Rava, Abaye shachiv, Abaye will die, umesifta asya legabach, and his yeshiva will come to you to study from you. Now, the Gemara is bringing here two dreams of which Bar Heja said to Rava the Gemara above, that their interpretations was that he and his wife would die. And the impression you get is that his wife died very, very soon after those dreams. And before the dream that's brought here, the interpretation was that Abaye would die, Rav would be the Rosh Hashiva. So it would seem that the wife of Rava died before Abaye died, and before Rava became Rosh Hashiva. And Tosis asks Akasha later on, it seems that the daughter of Rav Chisda was still alive at the time that Rava was the Rosh Hashiva, and the daughter of Rav Chisda was married to Rava. So how could Rava be the Rosh Hashiva when his wife had died much earlier, right after the interpretation of the dream? So Tosfos answers that even though Rava dreamt that dream about the death of his wife before the dream about the death of Abaye, which means before Rava was appointed Rosh Hashiva, nevertheless, Rava's wife only died after the death of Abaye, after Rava had become appointed as Rosh Hashiva. Now, the last two words we saw, the Gemara of Kasyon Avke, the dream of Rava, means that Rava himself was covered by the dust when the palace of Abaye collapsed. And Bar Hedge's interpretation indicates that Rava sort of took over the palace, or the dust from the palace, which means he succeeded Abaye as the Rosh Hashiva. Now, Amalei, Rava says to Bar Heja, Chazoy apanda didi denofal. Now in my dream I saw that my palace fell, the Asu Kuli Alma, and everyone came, Vishakil Labinsa Labinta. They took away one brick after the other. Amalei, so Bar Heja said to him, Shmatetoch Mibadron Bi Alma. Your teachings will be spread throughout the world. So the bricks become a symbol of Rava's teachings, and they'll be taken up by the masses, collected and disseminated throughout the world. Now, the Ben Yehoyada says that that this inyan of the Bitaran here is has to be studied very carefully, so we don't have time, but the Yalkut Habirim has a whole piece based on the Ben Yehoyada, and maybe that would be an interesting topic, a challenging topic. Now, let's go on. Omar Lei, Rava says that Chazoy de Ivka Reshe Vinosar Mokre. I saw in my dream that my head was split, and that's called Nivka Roshi. Umochi nosher, and my brains fell out. Umawa pitarona chalom. Amole sobar heja responds, Udra mi bei sadya nofik. Hamochin shebakar shetachas roshecha yotsu mimenu. Which literally means that the pillow, the feathers came out of the pillow that's underneath your head. Mitachas me'ashel secha. Now, here we have another dream of Rava to Bar Hejamale Akriyun Halela Mitzra Bechalma. I see in my dream that in my presence they are reading Halel HaMitzri, and that's the Halel that we read on Pesach on the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's called Halel HaMitzri to separate it from Halel HaGadol, which is the regular Halel. And in the Gemara at the end of Pesachim quotes a Machlokes Amoraim, which prakim are included in Halel HaGadol. Amal Leh, so Bar Hedge interprets his dream, Nisa Misrachashi Loch. The hall that they're reading in front of you, in your presence, is an allusion, a hint to the fact that in the future you will experience miracles. And the Hallel is recited on the miracles that were experienced by Klal Yisrael. As the Gemara says in Psochim, Nevim Shebeinem Tiknu Lehem LeYisrael Shiu Omrim Hallel, Ze al kol periku perikol tzotz shel tova lehem. So the Gemara now is going to tell us how Rava discovered Bar Hedja as an evil person. Had to discover his rishus, because all this time he had interpreted his, you know, his dreams negatively. Havakazul Bahadi bi Arba. Bar Hedja was traveling together with Rava in a boat, and Bar Hedja wants to get off the boat. Omar, so Bar Hedja says, Bahadi Gavra de Misrachishli Nisa Lomali. Why should I travel together with a man who will experience a miracle? Shema Kan Yorlo Nes, Shasvina Titba Vahui Notzel. Maybe it means that the ship is about to sink, and he, Rav, will be saved by a miracle. But I better get out of the Svina onto the dry land before it's too late. Bahadi de Kosolik Nafal Siframine. As Bar Hedja was getting off the boat to get onto dry land, his ledger fell from him. Ashkechei Rava. Rava saw his book. V'chazad aviksiv bei, and he saw that it was written in his book, Kol HaChalomos Hochlim Achar HaPeh, that the fulfillment, the implementation of the dreams depend upon the interpretation of the dream. So Rav understood that Bar Hedja, in his evil, was interpreting the dreams for evil. And that was his decision. So that basically, Rava now understood that it was Bar Hedja who was bringing about all these evil things that transpired in Rava's life. Omar, so Rava said to Bar Hedja, Rasha, you're an evildoer. Vididach kaima, you had in your power the ability to interpret my dreams. And in general, in dreams, whether for good or for bad, and instead you chose to interpret them for bad, v'tziartem kulihai, and you caused me such anguish. Then Rava continues and he says, kulo machil nalach, on all your interpretations for evil, I can be mochel you, I can forgive you, bar with one exception, Mi brate de Rav Chizda, the death of my wife, the daughter of Chizda. And Rava continues and curses Bar Hedja. Yehei Rava de Limsarahu Gavra. Yehi Ratzon Shimaser Oso Aish. May that person be Barhejali De Malchusa to the hands of the kingship, Delo Marachme Alayu, and they will not have any mercy on you. So it's really interesting that Rava is willing to be mochlem on everything except for the death of his wife, the daughter of Rav Chisda. Now, it seems that initially Rava did not understand that dream interpretation really depends upon the interpreter, and he thought that the interpretation was there, was sort of objective. Arhedger was giving these negative interpretations, and it wasn't in his control. In other words, Rav assumed that the dreams that he shared with Abai inherently had different meanings for each of one of them, based on Abai's difference in nature, you know, his birth, maybe his chuyot, as opposed to Rav's. But now that he looked at Barhej's ledger, and he realized that the discrepancy of interpretation came only from Barhej's greed, that's when he realized what a rasha Barhej was. Now, just to mention that Rav was married to the daughter of Chisda, and this was the only dream that he did not forgive Barhej, because as a result he lost Rav Chisda's daughter as a wife. Now, it's fascinating because what's going on here? Barhej had also prophesied the death of Rava's children. Perhaps Rava would not be mochel him for those deaths as well. That's interesting. Now, in terms of of this curse, Omar Barheja responds. He says, "My Evid, what can I do? Kamiri, we have a tradition. To kill us chacham afilu bechinam he ba. The curse of a Talmud chacham will come to fruition even if it was not justified. The kolshke in Rava, now much more so Rava, de bedina kalayit. He has justly cursed me. Omar ekum va'agli. Let me get up and go into exile. The Omer Mar Golus Mechaperes Omon. Exile atones for a sin." The Rambam says that exile means that you take upon yourself a new life. You're no longer the same person, and that's going to be an atonement for your sin. Kom Goli Lebei Romoi. So he got up and he went on exile to Rome. One second, turn the page. Ozil Yosef Apischa Deresh Turzina de Malka. Barheja went and he sat on the doorstep of the king's shomer, the one who was in charge of guarding the king. Resh Turzika Chazacholma. And that shomer, who was in charge of he was in the charge of the treasury of the king, he had a dream. Omalei, so Turzika said to Barheja, "Chazoi chaloma di oil machta b'etzbasi. I saw in my dream that a needle went into my finger." What's the interpretation of this dream? Omalei, Barheja says to him, "Havli zuza, pay me my wages." Below Yoivle, and this Turzina didn't want to pay him, and therefore Lo Omer Lev Lo Midi, and as a result, Barheja did not give him any interpretation of his dream. Omer Lev, so the Reish Turzina says to Barheja, "Chazoy Denofal Tichla Betarte Netzboy. I saw my dream that some sort of a tolas, a worm, fell into two of my fingers and ate up my fingers." So what's the interpretation? Omalei havli zuza v'lo yoevlei v'lo omalei midi. So Barheja again refuses to give him an interpretation because he's unwilling to pay. Once again, Reish Tarzina asks Bar Hedja for an interpretation of his dream. Amalei, Chazoy denafal tichla bechuli yada. I saw a tolas that fell on my entire hand. Amalei, here Bar Hedja offers him an interpretation. He says, Nafal tichla bechuli shiroi. Nafla tolas bechol me'ilei hamelech. The worms are attacking all the royal garbs, the silk garbs, and that's under your supervision. So you're responsible. Shami Beimalka, Beimalka probably means the court of the king, heard, I guess, that the silk was ruined. V'asyua l'reish turzina kakatlile. They brought the master of the treasury, the shomer, and they killed him. Omar Lahu, however, before he was put to death, he said to them, Ana Amai, of all the people, why are you killing me? I see Lahai Daviyad of La Omar. Instead, bring the one who knew about this situation, this disaster of the silk garbs, and that's Bar Hedja, because he didn't warn us about it. La Omar, he didn't tell us about it. He didn't give us a head of the Isul of Bar Hedja. They brought Bar Hedja before them. Upon investigating the matter, Amrile, they said to him, Amtu Zuza Didach. Which means that because of your Zuz, in other words, you delayed because you weren't paid to interpret the dreams. You insisted you wanted that Zuz before you interpret the dream. And that caused the delay, and as a result, Chorvu, here we're turning to Nunvavu and Beis, Shirai de Malka, the silks of the king have been destroyed. And the Gemara is now going to describe the way that they killed Bar Hedja. Now let's go back for a moment to Bar Hedja's response to Rava, or what Rava saw written in Bar Hedja's handwriting, Kol HaChalomos Holchim Achar HaPeh, that the fulfillment of the dreams depend upon the interpreter. And we'll mention here a Rashba who says in his Tshuvas that this concept that the fulfillment of the dream, the future, depends upon the interpretation of the dream, that's a Dovar Sguli Vanilla. We don't know exactly how that works. However, in the Sefer HaMa'oros, in the name of the Yesh Omrim, he says that we find very often the Koach Sguli, the Sgula power, in the Dibur. Just like we find the Sgula power in the eye, which is called an Ayin Hara. However, he himself, the Baal Sefer HaMa'oros, disagrees, and he says that what it said in the book of Bar Hedja, that all the Chalomos depend upon the Peh, is not really true. We shouldn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would change Gzeira and determine the future based on a man who decides to interpret a dream in that way. And again, the question that we've been bothered by over and over again, why Rav until this time didn't realize that it was Bar Hedja's interpretation, deliberate interpretation, that brought all this evil upon him. And the Gemara itself, back on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, had quoted Rabbi Eliezer, who derived this principle from a pasuk. And Rav himself was quoted earlier saying that Dafka, it's only Kasher Posar Lo Me'ein Chalomo, that it's only if there's something in the dream and the interpretation reflects or corresponds to the dream, then it's true. And the answer that's offered, I'm just going to read to you the Ben Yehoyada here. Rava himself thought that when it says that all the chalomos holchem achar peh, that's when one person can interpret the dream the way he wants to, whether it's b'letov l'ra, but when two people have the same exact dream, then kfar patru li echad l'tova, and one of them is, his dream is interpreted for the good, then shuv eina yochel lefotro l'sheni l'ra. So he always, Rava, accompanied Abaye to Bar Hedja, because he thought that if the pitaron, if the interpretation to Abaye would be for the good, then his dream would also be interpreted for the good. And therefore, Shapitaron poter l'Abaye l'tov yoil gam l'chalom shehu chalam. It would help him for his dream. And therefore, when later on he says he went by himself, the reason for that was he thought that if Bar Hedja would interpret his dream l'ra'ah for the evil, he would never be able to interpret Abaye's dream if he had the same dream l'tova. So therefore, he would have to be poter li'atzmo l'tova, meaning that Bar Hedja would have to, he would have no choice but to interpret Rava's dream l'tova so that he could interpret the same dream of Abaye l'tova, because once you interpret one dream l'tova, the other has to also be interpreted l'tova. And since Bar Hedja had Abaye's interest in mind, he would certainly want to be poter Rava's dream l'tova so that Abaye's dream he can interpret l'tova for the good. And then when Rava realized that none of this was working, then he stopped and he gave money to Bar Hedja to see if maybe the money would help. And that's when we had the whole story with the ledger. Now the Chazon Ish writes that the reason why Rava was allowed to curse Bar Hedja, Kishem Shaya Mutalo Lindoso, because he could put Bar Hedja into Nidui because of the tsar that he caused Rava, so too he's allowed to curse him. And the Chazon Ish derives from this Gemara that Mutar Hayalo Lakala B'Shem Hashem, he could even use invoke the name of God in his Kola. Sherei Omar Yehei Ra'ua. And that's what he meant when he said Yehi Ratzon Min HaShamayim. Let's just see the language of the curse. He opens up Rava with the words Yehi Rava. It should be the Ratzon of Hashem. And the Chazon Ish says that whenever we find in Shas that the Amoraim curse someone, then it must have been because they were obligated to do so, to give that curse for the sake of Kovod HaTorah, so that people would not be bezazel and be careless about the honor of Chachamim, of the greats. However, Klolazu Eina Mazika Ella Imloshov Hanichna. The curse is always conditional, it's contingent. If the person who was cursed would do tshuva, then the klola would not destroy him. But later on, we see that Bar Hedja wanted to go into golus for kapara, and therefore perhaps he would achieve kapara, and then the klola would no longer be effective. But at the end, we see that Bar Hedja, did not really do genuine tshuva. Now, when we say that Chilas Chacham Afilu Bechinam Hi Ba'a, what that means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish someone Shelo Kiddin. So what does it mean Afilu Al Chinam Hi Ba'a? And he says that the makula, the person, must be guilty of some other avera, and that's why the klola will come to pass. But we do have a principle, ein megalgalin chova al yedei zakai. And the Maharami Prague, in his Nesiv HaTorah, explains why is it that the klola of a chacham has more power than the klola of other people. And that's a discussion unto itself. We read about the punishment of Bar Hedja by the government. Kfisu train arose bechavla. They bound him up. They took two cedar trees, bound with a rope. Osur chad kare lechad arza. They tied one of his leg to one cedar tree. Vechad kare lechad arza, and another leg to another cedar tree. Vesharu lechavla ad de itztalik resha. and they untied the rope that was binding these two trees until his head split. Each cedar tree recoiled until it stood in its original place, and it was, as a result, the body split and fell into two pieces. A very gruesome death. So when they untied the rope, the cedar trees whipped back into place, destroying Bar Hedge's body. Okay, we'll stop here on the top of Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis.